Two hurt people find healing together. That's coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff with your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you have joined me for another edition. I'm so excited about this edition because I read this book a couple of weeks ago, and I read it because I had time that day, and I read it probably like in an hour or so, and it is such a good book. I can't wait to have my guest co-host and contributor today, Tanya Franklin, tell you all about it in just a few moments. Just want to thank all of you for your continued support of Right Stuff. You know, we recently have started a Patreon account. And so if you're feeling led to prayerfully support this ministry via your finances, simply go to patreon.com/rightstuff and become a Quill member for as little as $3 a month if you can. If you can't, no big deal. We love to have your prayers. So I hope you prayerfully consider that as being part of our ministry here where we showcase Christian authors all over the world. I'm very excited to tell you that I do have a new published work coming out in August. On August 11th, I will be publishing my last Proxy Bride book in the Proxy Bride series that's coming out August 11th. Very excited about that. Hadn't published in a couple of months. I was supposed to, and then just got bogged down with life and things happening. So looking forward to publishing that very soon. Working on the edits now, so stay tuned for that. As always, if you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. Simply call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Right Stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Losing sales due to incorrect algorithm influence categorization? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Christian, faith-based books in a variety of subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Become a content contributor and receive early notification of when you can start uploading your content. Go to twotigersllc.com and sign up today. Readio, the app for great Christian books. Follow us on social media at twotigersllc.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back with the queen of Tuesday night and her guest. Hi, Hi, welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Side, and you are here with me today, the queen of Tuesday nights, as we talk to my guest co-host and contributor today, Tanya Franklin. She is the author of the hot off the press novella called Love Impaired. Let me tell you, you're going to enjoy this story. It kind of starts off with a bang and keeps going from there. So if you like romance, and you like romance that has a lot of reality to it, this is the book for you. It's called Love Impaired, and it's on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I was so glad when Tanya asked me to, she told me about her book, and I just was so excited to read it because I love romance, as some of you may have guessed. So I'm very excited to showcase this book to you. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Love Impaired today. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Tanya Franklin. Tanya, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am fine. I'm doing just fine. I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here with us today. I never take it lightly. So thank you for being with me today.
It's my pleasure.
You know, you already know I'm a fan of the book, and I was going to let our listeners know I was a fan of the book. And after I read the book, I was monologuing with Tanya while she had a life to live for like 25 minutes on Facebook Messenger as I was just sharing her my thoughts and impressions about the book, you know, getting mad at some of the characters and some of the situations that happened. And so I'm very excited to showcase it with you because Love Impaired is not your typical romance story, because most romance stories end in happily ever after. However, Love Impaired ends with happily for now. And I think that's highly significant because as you go through the story, it can't be a happily ever after because happily ever after is a work in progress. And that dose of reality really added depth to this short but wonderfully concise and comp story, introduced a great cast of characters. We have a really good villain in here, just a lot of good stuff going on. So I can't wait to let our listeners know about it. So if you want a dash of romance, make sure you go ahead and pick up Love Impaired today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. But before we get started into Love Impaired, I definitely want people to know more about you, Tanya. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I've been writing since I was about 13, but I didn't become a published author until about 2015. I love to read. I've always been a reader. I think some of that was due to being grounded as a teenager, and so I didn't have any other outlet. So reading became a love of mine. It became an escape to just entertain some of the creativity that was already inside of me. So I just love developing the underdog, the person that is the least likely to succeed. Those are the type of people that I like to develop in my stories. I love romance. I love mystery. And I love action. I love action.
I like the fact that you said, I love to develop the underdog. Who doesn't love an underdog story? I often think the reason why we love underdog stories is because we often feel like the underdog. But unlike the underdog story where it succeeds, sometimes you may say, well, I can't be the successful underdog. What would you say to someone who says or thinks in that matter?
I would definitely say that we are all given a destiny. We're all given a path and a purpose. And one thing that I believe is that no one's purpose and path is the same as someone else's. So a lot of times when we consider ourselves as underdogs, we look at a certain particular list of characteristics of what a successful person is or who's a victor. And so to that person, I would say that find out what your own purpose is, find out what your path is, and develop that from that particular point. I mean, we are all destined to be great in something.
I like that you said we are all destined to be great in something. That's extremely important when we talk about what we're supposed to do in life. And this show mm-hmm. is always about encouraging that author whom God has given the gift to write, to pick up the pen and do that, because that's what they're destined for. Now, greatness does not have to be, oh, my book sold 13 billion copies. I mean, I wouldn't sneeze my nose up at it either, Tanya, you know, right? When they go,
right.
Oh, I can't sell 13 billion copies. No, 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 that's totally fine. If you want to, 13 billion people, which is more than how many people live in the planet, but 13 billion people want to buy my book, fine, I'm not going to say no. But it's interesting that you say we are destined for greatness, and that's an important aspect of our personality as we try to discover what our purpose is. So I'm glad that you spoke about passion and purpose and the path, because everyone's path and purpose is different. Do you think the reason
right.
why some people who have that ability to write don't do it because they forget that they do have that purpose and that path that they're supposed to develop for themselves?
It's to a certain degree. I think sometimes that it's fear, or that you set certain particular standards for yourself. I know that that was the case for me. It took me over 30 years to actually take the leap to become a published author. I just, you know, thought that, you know, this is just something that I'm just doing as a hobby. You know, I really didn't take myself serious enough to think that I could actually be a published author. I saw it as something that was so impossible and out of my scope of ability to be able to do. And I had a friend that reached out to me about another book that I had written. And, you know, she said, why won't you get this published? And I was like, no, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that. You know, no one's going to want to read this. And, you know, I'm just sitting up here just fleshing out my own thoughts and feelings and, you know, just having these creative bursts. And she said, this book is good. You know, you need to see about what you need to do to get it published. And that's when the reality started to sink in that it's possible that I'm able to do this. And it's when you step out of that fear and you acknowledge the possibility, you know, then that's when, and you start taking yourself seriously, you know, that's when you're able to get past the, you know, oh, I can't do it. Or, you know, I'm not good enough. You know, when you start taking into those three things into consideration, you know, getting out from under the fear, looking at the possibility and believing in yourself.
You know, the fact that you said when you step out of fear, because fear is a bog, and this bog
mm-hmm.
is deep. It's almost like an abyss. And you can step into a bog of fear and then become overwhelmed by it. Fear can be extremely paralyzing, and it can be
right.
it can happen for many years. I'm glad you said that, because there are some writers out there thinking, I can't write. Like you said, you know, this is just creative burst. I'm not really taking this seriously.
Right.
It's a hobby. And you actually say something that I said when I became serious about my own writing career. It was back in 2010 when I lost my job, and I've been working on a story for 10 years. It was on an ancient artifact called a 5.5 floppy disk. And it was on that artifact, and I had to move it to another artifact called a 3.5 floppy disk. And then I said, you know
mm-hmm.
what? I want to publish the story. I'm tired of seeing it on this computer. And that's when breakthrough came, when I took myself seriously. And for the writer out there who may not be taking themselves seriously, why aren't you? Aren't your talent, and isn't the story within you worth sharing with the world? It doesn't have to be all 9 billion people, or however many people on the planet now, I don't remember, but, you know, it doesn't have to be that many people. It could be someone in your family. It could be someone in your neighborhood.
Right.
It could be kids at the church. It doesn't matter. But once you start to take yourself seriously, then you will seriously accomplish your goal. So I definitely hope that you take what Tanya just said, that when the reality starts to sink in that it is possible to do this thing is when you step out of fear. But how can people do that if they're locked in fear? How can they get out of that mindset of fear?
One thing is, and you kind of alluded to this already, is to understand that there is somebody that needs to hear your story. And I think that was the defining moment for me, is that when I had a beta reader to tell me that, oh my goodness, you know, I really needed to hear this. I really needed to read. And that was the breaking moment for me in understanding that it's just not a creative burst that I have, but the story that I have to tell, that it's designed for someone. It's designed to encourage, to motivate, to transform someone else. And when you understand how important your message is in whatever you're writing, when you understand the importance of that message, that is the motivating fire to get you to move forward to do it.
Amen. I like the fact that you said that. And when we look at your Amazon page link, we see you have an eclectic catalog of books. You not just have just, you know, this romance you just finished publishing, this novella. You have a book that sounds like a thriller called The Devil in Disguise. This nice looking black guy with some reds around it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder what that's about, you know. Then you have a devotional, then you got a business book, you know. So you have this eclectic catalog of writing mm-hmm. that you've done. And I think that's very interesting because it lets me know that once you step out of the bog of fear, you realize that it's possible for me to help other people to become a better woman of God. Like your Proverbs series, it's possible for me to help people become better customer service agents by understanding that for business owners, it's better for me to help, you know, bring God's truth in the vehicle of fiction with like this book and with Devil in Disguise. And so you do all these different things because you stepped out the bog of fear. And I really can appreciate that, just as from one writer to another who lived in fear. I lived in fear for quite some time until I took myself seriously. So I'm really excited right. that you are motivating our listeners out there to step out of the bog of fear. Now, when we come back, we're going to get more behind the scenes with Tanya. We're going to talk about her process. What was the catalyst that made her write this wonderful novella called Love Impaired, and so much more? You're welcome to call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and these messages. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work. But what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with identity theft protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you're here with me today as I chat with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tanya Franklin. She is the author of the book Love Impaired, a short novella available for you on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. This is a wonderful romance story that has a healthy dose of reality. It's not about happily ever after. It's about happily for now. And the reason why is that happily ever after is a work in progress. And in this story, you definitely understand how these two characters connect because they both have been hurt by people they love. I got a question for you. How would you advise someone who has been hurt? How would you advise them to get past the pain? Or have you been in that position where someone you love has hurt you? What did you do to get past the pain? We'd love to hear your responses to that by simply calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Co. hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. You know, Tanya, I was thinking about your process because once you step out that bog of fear, you start to actually produce more works. So go ahead and tell us what your writing process looks like.
Usually it's a question. Sometimes I may see something on television or something may come out of a conversation where I'm just asking, you know, a deeper question. And usually when I ask those deeper questions, that's when a story usually is the seed of a story is developed. So I'm always looking at, I like for my work to be realistic, but I also want to give the reader the opportunity to step into places of unknown or could have or maybe should have. So that's usually the process that I write, is where I'm always asking questions, you know, that if a certain particular situation happens, like, you know, well, if this happened, you know, how would that person react, or how would this situation come to be? And I kind of play on both sides of the field, on something that's good and something that's not so good.
And let me tell you, that is just a precursor to the book Love Impaired, because when you find out what this woman is hurting from, you are like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that happened. And I remember when I hit you on Messenger, Tanya, I was so upset. I was in her world at that moment. I said, I cannot believe that trifling so-and-so would do something like that. And then they have the nerve to do what? And those are literally the reactions you are going to have when you start off reading Love Impaired by Tanya Franklin. I'm not kidding. It is not a joke. I am not just saying that because this is Parker. No, you're going to have that reaction when you read this story. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of it today. Now, you talked about how you get your inspiration from different places, and you want to make sure that you have that dose of reality in your books. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when I write, I don't necessarily have a dose of reality. I do have it. I love Happily Ever After. You know why? Mm-hmm. Because the book ends. And I don't want to think that they're going to have problems later, or somebody's going to come in and destroy their world. I don't think about stuff like that. But at the same time, mm-hmm. in real life, that happens, you know. And like you said, that having that ability to confront that is what makes Love Impaired a very powerful short story. And I think our listeners are going to enjoy it. So when you were thinking about this particular story in particular, and I'll go ahead and share the problem in a minute, not right now, but in a minute, I'll share the problem that our main character Kiki faces in the book, because it's in the first chapter, so it's not like a spoiler. But, you know, when you deal with that, you know, were you thinking about yourself in that position? Was it something you saw on TV? Like, I know Paternity Court has a lot of good stuff going on that show. If you watch Paternity Court, I don't know if it's staged or not, but it does make great TV. You know what I mean? I don't know. But, you know, where did that idea for Love Impaired come from?
Part of it was from personal experience. Not in the exact order, but I just ask questions, you know, what if this happened? You know, what if that happened? I have those weird moments where I just think, you know, just ideas and thoughts just pop into my head. And I wanted to address it because sometimes, and especially in the African-American community, we tend to just sweep things under the rug and hold things in and not actually deal with the root of it. And what happens is that when we make the decision to move on in life, we forget about the baggage that we have from our past, and not understanding on how that baggage impacts future relationships, whether it is a romantic relationship, whether it's a relationship with a new friend, or even with other family members. And so that is one of the, you know, that's some of the dynamics of what I wanted to deal with, because as a community, sometimes we don't deal with things head on.
That's important to acknowledge that. And I think that's not just in the African-American community, but in various communities all over the mm-hmm. world, that people tend to mm-hmm. sweep things under the rug for whatever reason. Sometimes you, especially with me growing up old school, it was what happens in this house, stay in this house. We don't air out
right.
our dirty laundry, anything like that. And so I was listening to a famous gospel singer on a show on YouTube, and she had been attacked when she was like either 8 or 13 years old by a family member. And she said, back then, you just didn't say anything. You just kind of,
right.
I mean, I think her grandma or somebody came and like kicked the guy's tail or something, but you didn't
mm-hmm.
acknowledge
mm-hmm.
it. You just went on, you moved on from it. And when you said it, I brought that to mind. And there are some people who just hold on to the baggage. And what's so very interesting is that people can hold on to the baggage and they can have a pretty okay life. You know, they're going to church, they're successful. They may not be having a bad day at all, but in the back of their hearts is this massive stone that they're carrying with them. Do you think it's
right.
important for us, even if our life is okay, to acknowledge the baggage that we carry? Because some people may say, look, I'm fine, I survived. Do they really survive, or do they make do? What are your thoughts about that? Because your book really deals with that.
Actually, that was something that I had, you know, that was a growing process for me. Because I dealt with some trauma as a youth and as a young adult. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you know, I survived through it. I've moved on. And not realizing that because I didn't actually deal with the root of those things, that it actually played a role in destructive behavior. It also played a role in how I created thought processes towards men or towards other women. And once I had that awakening, that aha moment, that there is some deep-rooted issues that you have to deal with, that if you don't fix the problem, the root of the problem, instead of just trimming, just trimming the branches a little bit, but you have to really just uproot that thing and deal with it, it's going to have a domino effect in every relationship that you have, whether you even realize it or not. And so that was, you know, it's very important that you deal with those things, because even if you move past it, and you're successful, you know, I was a leader in the church. I mean, everything was, you know, cozy and great, but I still had those underlining issues, those underlining self-esteem issues, those trust issues. I still had those things because of the things that I'd never dealt with early on from the early parts of my life. So it's very important that we deal with those things. And I mean, it's difficult. It can be difficult. It can be very uncomfortable, but to grow exponentially to where you should be, and to be able to reap the full benefits out of the relationships that you have, those issues, they need to be dealt with.
It's important that you mention relationships too, because we have all sorts of relationships, not necessarily
right.
romantic relationships, but relationships with people at work, relationships with people
right.
that we go to church with, relationships with people in leadership, because it doesn't always have to be, you know, abuse of some sort. It can be a betrayal. It can be someone lied
right.
on you. I mean, trauma is trauma, you know, and actually the science of it is catching up with the emotional toll of it, because what's interesting is that the brain actually is physically scarred by
mm-hmm.
trauma. And that's something that people didn't know until very recently. We're talking within the last 5 years, that you can actually have physical scarring on your brain to affect you. And imagine that, and then your brain creates a new pathway of how you deal with that. So maybe that's why you go to a relationship distrusting people, or maybe you enter into a business
right.
relationship making sure that you have all the cards in your hand, so the person who hurt you before won't hurt you again. But like someone told me, forgiveness is all about not letting that person have power over you. We did get a comment
right.
from Isabella. We got a comment from Isabella Elspeth from Twitter. Isabella says, you can't expect the person who hurt you to be sorry. People aren't sorry when they do mean things, mainly because they sought gratification from hurting you. Only Jesus sees the residual pain. Isabella, thank you so much for that comment. Thank you for weighing in. What do you think about that, Tanya, what Isabella said?
I think to a degree, there is some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I've learned is that we're imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we operate out of emotion or our own trauma that we don't even realize and acknowledge that we have. And, you know, what's in you, you know, will come out of you. And sometimes if it's something that's been suppressed, even though the memory of it may be suppressed, your actions may be the fruit of those things. And when you don't have that full on honesty with yourself, sometimes you tend to hide behind certain particular facades, and you tend to lash out at people and not really understanding why you're even doing it. And it's not to excuse the behavior, but it is to acknowledge that, you know, that it exists. That's something that I even personally learned, that sometimes people do just the best that they can because they don't know any better.
Right.
You know,
right.
They just simply do not know. They have not had the example. They have not had anybody to teach them, to love on them, that this is all they know, that this is their normal. And
mm-hmm.
and when you come in contact with that, and it's like, wait a minute, whoa, you know, what you're doing to me, that is unacceptable behavior. And so it's like, wait a minute, it's unacceptable. You know, this is what I've been, this has been in my part of my environment my entire life. You know, I know
mm-hmm.
nothing else. So
yeah.
to a degree, yes. But also we have to look deeper into that, you know, that sometimes it's that people, they don't know. They don't have the necessary skills of maturity to know and understand better. And because they've never been held accountable for their actions and behaviors. So to a certain degree, I do agree with her, but I do just wanted to just add that additional perspective.
And that's why we ask, because we always want to make sure we clarify what we're saying, because sometimes things can be misconstrued, you know. So I totally understand your thought process. When we come back from our break, we're going to go into depth about Love Impaired. It's a powerful short novella, romance if you like it, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Love Impaired by Tanya Franklin today. If you want to weigh in, certainly call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
We're back with the queen of Tuesday night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you're here with me. We're talking to Tanya Franklin. She is my guest co-host and contributor, as well as the author of the book Love Impaired, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. You're going to love this very short story. Well, not short story, but it's a very quick read, but it packs a punch within a small amount of time. And as you follow along with our characters, you begin to understand that hurt people, or conversely, hurt people push away people so they won't be hurt again. And that is one of the things behind the book Love Impaired. So make sure you pick up your copy today. And Tanya, I can't wait to let our listeners know all about the book without any spoilers, of course, but tell them where this story takes place, where it starts off at. So go ahead and tell us what Love Impaired is about.
Well, Love Impaired is about two people that they have had different experiences with being hurt. So it's not all the traditional ways of being hurt in a relationship. What's kind of interesting is that one of the main characters has multiple hurts that's revealed throughout the story that kind of piles onto one another. And they meet, I guess you would say, quote unquote, accidentally. And they meet during a point where they're both pretty still wounded. So it's not a love at first sight meeting when they meet. They kind of meet on kind of tense terms. But one of the main characters begins to see deeper past that particular hurt, even though they're hurting. And it's kind of like the doctor who's trying to help someone else to be able to see, but they're blind themselves and not realizing it. And so throughout the course of the book, they both realize that we both have some issues You know, it's not just, you know, you need to be fixed, but I need to be fixed as well.
We did get a comment I want to read. We got a comment from Erica on Facebook. Erica, thank you for your comment. Erica says, a man I know became popular within his family because he associated with me. His grandfather had died. Our relationship was already sour, bad attitudes. During the funeral, he called me because his family was teasing him about me. I didn't know he had been lying about having a relationship with me. This is a long story, yet I couldn't stand him. The point is, I was angry for a long time, mainly because he continued the lie. Erica, thank you so much for sharing and joining in the conversation. And it's interesting because lies is also part of love impaired. And I think one of the reasons why God says there are seven things that he hates and one of them is a liar is because liars can be so destructive to relationships and to partnerships, you know, and people always say it's a white lie. And I get it. I understand that, you know, you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. So you may say, oh, you look great. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you are blatantly lying to someone about very serious things. Not that the white lie isn't bad. I'm not saying that. But when you can really destroy someone's life from that or do something like that. So I know we all say it's all the same. And I agree it is all the same. But, you know, lying is a big part of love impaired because our main character, Kiki, was lied to by the two people she should have trusted in the world. And who were those two people?
Her mother and her boyfriend.
Yeah. And what did mom and boyfriend do, Tanya? Because this is the beginning of the book. That's why I was like, my mouth dropped on the floor.
They had an affair.
Yes. Her mom and her boyfriend had an affair. And imagine finding that out. The two people who are supposed to care about you have totally thrown you out of the door. And I literally, I think when I read that part, I said, I think I sent you a message as soon as I read it. I said, are you kidding me? Seriously, this happened. And just the betrayal that Kiki felt. I felt it too. Mind you, I have been in that situation, but I felt it was a visceral kick in the stomach that my mom, Kiki's mom will go ahead and have an affair with her daughter's boyfriend. You know, it sounds like something from Mari, you know, like Mari Povich or like I said, Paternity Court, some crazy stuff like that that happens, you know. And it's interesting. I think it was on, do I want to say The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne? I think it is. But I think it is. I can't think of the guy's radio. But he had a situation where that happened. That really happened. Mm-hmm. The guy had got his girlfriend's mom in the family way. And he hadn't told his girlfriend. And you're sitting there going, excuse me? Like, oh, my God.
Right.
He's supposed to be marrying the woman, you know. So real life can be real icky. That's for sure. It can be real icky.
Yes.
So love impaired is not far from the truth. There's that dose of reality you were talking about there, Tanya. So Kiki is hurting. When we first meet her, she is hurting. But it's a hurt that's extremely deep because of this betrayal. Do you think betrayals of the heart leave a deeper impact, almost like a crater as opposed to a pebble?
Oh, most definitely. And it spreads. It's not something that you're hurting about it today and it's, you know, and it's over. It spills over into other aspects of your life. As you continue to go through the story, you will find out how that particular betrayal affects not only just her heart, but it affects her as a person and as well as her performance and how she views and sees everything. And so I definitely agree. It leaves a gigantic crater in your spirit, in your soul, in your emotions, in your heart. It can be very damaging, and it can lead to a domino effect of even more damage to even the other people that are around you that may love you, may have good intentions toward you, but because of that pain, that level of pain, it's like, you know, that's all that you see, you know, that's all that you experience.
There's a scene in there where her best friend is trying to help her. It's a best friend from work. And she's trying to help her, and she's just pushing her away. And she's like,
right.
And the best friend is trying to reach out to her. Mind you, the best friend did not do anything to her. The best friend was not involved in the whole confrontation. The best friend was just trying to be a friend, and she pushed her away. One thing about Kiki
right.
in this story, I was so frustrated with her because I wanted her to see there are people who love her, but she was
mm-hmm.
hurt so badly by this betrayal, again,
mm-hmm.
by people who are supposed to love you as opposed to themselves, and it really affected
mm-hmm.
her relationship. So then, when we meet our hero, who I like, by the way, he's my new book boyfriend, when we meet our hero, you know, she can't see him for this hurt, but our
right.
hero also is suffering from pain as well. I don't know if we want to tell our listeners what that pain is because it's a little further on in the story. But at the same time, he's also suffering from healing. But the difference between the hero and the heroine is that the hero has Christ in his life.
Right.
Why does that make a huge difference with how they deal with pain?
The thing is that, you know, you have to have somewhere to lean. You have to have some type of support. When you are shaken and damaged the way Kiki has been, you have to have some type of foundation that you can fall against. And at the beginning of the story, Kiki doesn't have that foundation. She's pretty much just free-falling into her own pain. And as she's free-falling, she is pushing people away. She's pulling others into it, and she's falling even deeper into that pain. With the hero, he has not only Christ, but he has a support system that can bring clarity even through the pain that he's dealing with. So he has that edge that even though he's hurting himself, he has the foundation, and he has a support system that is godly that can help to bring some sort of perspective to where he is a little bit further along in the healing process, even though at the beginning he doesn't even realize it.
It's interesting, too, that even though he has Christ in his life, and he does, even though he has a support system, and he does, the fact is that there's a crater in his heart. And so when you have a
mm-hmm.
crater in your heart, it's difficult for you to move past the pain. And that's something he was
right.
dealing with, not just for a few months. He's been dealing with this pain for 2 years. And I love
right.
supporting past the characters that you have in this. That's why I'm hoping you really consider expanding this universe that you created around this church. Because the brother and his wife are funny. The other people involved are funny. And then there's so many avenues you can take with it. You know, so I hope you know, I'm just throwing that out there. You know, Tanya, you can really take it somewhere and create a little universe here. But, you know, just the pain that they're dealing with. And so when she meets the hero, at first she can't see him,
right.
that he is. And I was kind of glad because it's often something really simple that brings people together. In this case, it was an accident, or not even an accident, altercation in the grocery store parking lot, you know. And I was thinking,
right.
here you are meeting the Mr. Wright in the grocery parking lot, and you can't see for this pain that's blocking you. So tell us,
right.
the title Love Impaired, you know, where did that title come from? Was it something you were deliberate about? Were you just thinking one day while you're drinking, you know, chocolate milk? You know, how did it come about?
It was pretty deliberate because I started actually developing Kiki's character first. And as I was developing her character, I wanted to make sure that the title represented exactly where she was. And so it's that she wanted to be loved, she needed to be loved, but the love that she had experienced and the love that she knew was damaged, it was broken. And so that's where the title of Love Impaired came from.
And it was damaged and broken because when you're dealing with imperfect people, it's not going to be perfect love. And I remember someone told me, as far as when it comes to marriage, you have two imperfect people swearing to love each other till the end of time. You know, like we're going to love each other till
right.
the end of time. in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, better or worse. You know, we have two imperfect people making these really perfect vows. So when it comes to that,
right.
mind, you got to know it's not going to necessarily, you need help. You need help to
keep
your vows. And, you know, I always laugh because, and this is just a personal thing, and I know our listeners out there, if you feel differently, that's totally fine. I rarely want to hear from someone who has not been married or divorced. I
mm-hmm.
really want to hear from them
mm-hmm.
because I feel as if you haven't been married, but you have these theories, keep them. You know what I'm saying? Like, keep
That's
your
right.
theory, okay? Keep it. Until you sit there and get married and live with someone in the holy matrimony that God gave us, which is, you know, marriage. Until you do that, I really don't want to hear from you. Now, I'm not saying people who have been, and there are people who haven't got married but have been together for a long time. I understand that. But to me, it's not the same as saying I have married this person. And they say, well, I don't need a piece of paper.
Right.
All right, fine, whatever. I get it. I totally get it. But for me, if you haven't, if you've been married to someone for 30-something years, be with them for 30-something years, then, you know, what was the big deal about getting married? You know, but that's another subject for another time. But for me, I don't want to hear anyone's theories. I just don't. Like I said, I'd rather hear from someone who has been married or who is divorced
right.
because at least they can say, yeah, I was married and yeah, it's not what you thought it would be. You know, and here you have these two people
mm-hmm.
who have this impaired heart. You know, their hearts are not whole. And so one of the best scenes in the story is when you start to see the hero starts to fall for a heroine, but he's not even aware of it. And that's what pain did. It even blocked him from his own self-awareness that his heart was reaching out to this woman. What are your
right.
thoughts about that, Tanya?
I wanted to, because I know a lot of times when writers are creating the hero, you know, he's this really tough, strong guy, but I wanted to give him a little vulnerability. And I wanted to do it from a perspective of where we see that some of the residue from his own damaged heart is blinding him. I mean, we can see Kiki's very clearly, you know, of the damage that's done and the aftermath of it. But the heroes damage is not so easily seen. So I wanted to kind of unearth that a little bit so that the readers can see that, wait a minute, you know, this is another way that when you have a broken or damaged heart, that this is another way that, you know, an after effect is up from it, you know. Even though it seemed like he was doing fine, you know, he was doing good. He, you know, he really wasn't holding a lot of malice or he wasn't, you know, just depressed and down. But because some of the residue of that pain, it kind of blinded him, like you said, from being able to see exactly the direction of where his heart was going toward the heroine.
Interestingly enough, there's a major character in the story that doesn't have a speaking part per se, but is
mm-hmm.
essentially the cornerstone, and that's the church in this book. And I
mm-hmm.
think you were brilliant to show the church being the center of the community as well as this place where both Kiki and the hero meet. Because in your own way, you were saying that if we want to heal broken hearts, the church should make itself available for that opportunity. That's what I got out of it as I was reading your story. But tell us, what were you thinking about?
I was actually, that's to a certain degree. I was also looking at it that it was the unspoken healing place.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a place that Kiki necessarily was running to. It was, you know, that, you know, this, you know, I'm just going just because my friend is asking me to go. I'm not going because I'm emotional and I'm just going to try the church out. This was just, you know, this is just something that I'm just going to do. I'm actually going to be entertained, you know, to get my mind off of my problems, not realizing that this was actually the place that was going to be the catalyst for her beginning to heal. So, and even though the hero was already there, until he was able to acknowledge some of the brokenness that he experienced, he was not able to be able to fully reap some of that healing, even though he was already there at the healing place. So I wanted to create it as the centerpiece of where the healing was. And I wanted to do it in a way where it wasn't something that was, you know, cliche where the pastor comes in and saves the day, but that these two people find their own journey, you know, in the church, you know, the church and through God. So that's really where I was going with that.
You did an excellent job, Tanya, and I'm not just saying that. You know, I live in the world
Thank
of romance
you.
Stories, so I know the tropes and various things, and your story did have that very unique aspect of romance with that realistic hit. Like I said, I like Happily Ever After, and I probably won't ever stop writing Happily Ever After because I like the fact that, hey, it's a done deal. We don't have to worry about them having problems because in real life that's
right.
not the case. But I like the fact
right.
that those listeners out there who want to have that dose of reality, who want to have that, you know, hey, I'm really rooting for this couple, not because they lived happily ever after, but that they're happy for now. And I think that's important because in time, if you're married or especially if you're married, you know, your relationship has dips and valleys and high points and low points. And so it's not always going to be happily ever after. I don't even think that's realistic. I actually think the dips help you get stronger as a couple. Something
mm-hmm.
I've experienced this past year myself. And so it was very cathartic for me as I was reading the story, letting us know that love, it may be broken, but it can be healed. You know, and you think about that
right.
song by Tina Turner, you know, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken. And that may be
right.
one of the reasons why people avoid relationships because their heart has been broken. And, you know, we all
mm-hmm.
know about Tina Turner's story. You know, we all know how horrible, you know, she had to deal with some of the stuff she dealt with. And so her song was like, who needs one? Why deal with this? But hearts can be healed, you know,
right.
Hearts can be repaired, and either they're repaired by Christ. Christ can take a broken heart and put it back together again. It's like that song by
right.
the Hawkins, Tremaine Hawkins and her husband, The Potter's House. And in
mm-hmm.
the song, he says,
mm-hmm.
The potter wants to put you back together again. So the potter, who is Christ, knows that we've been broken, and he wants to put us back together again. You know, he's saying it's not impossible to be put back together again, but are you going to let me handle the repair? And so that's why I loved Love Impaired for those of you listening. And I want you to go ahead and pick up your copy of Love Impaired today, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Tanya, we are at the end of our show today. I really had a great time with you today. So in the few moments we have left, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Facebook. My page is author Tanya Franklin. I'm also on Instagram, and it is Books by Tanya. You can also check my website at TanyaDFranklin.com.
In the few moments we have left again, what is some encouraging words you can give to our aspiring authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so?
Get to know what your vision is. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the unknown. Walk by faith, and understand that you have a story that someone needs, you know, somebody needs to read it. Somebody needs to hear your voice on those pages. So don't think that whatever your story is, that, you know, that it's insignificant, you know, it's important. Go
I like
write
that
it.
You said that. I love it. You said it's not insignificant. It's not, you know, it's funny because I did an article today on Grace and Faith for You about my transition from being a career woman working in corporate America to being a housewife. And it was an interesting transition because I thought being a housewife would be a breeze, right? I just thought it would be a breeze, and it's not. And so I'm discovering that a career woman outside the home is the same as a career woman inside the home. And it's just one aspect of our personality. And I was like, well, do I really want to share this? You know what I mean, Tanya? Does anyone really care that I have to clean my house? You know, does anyone care that to manage and structure my day? Does anyone care? You know, but I put it out there anyway, not expecting to get anyone to respond back. And I got a couple responses just from sharing that idea. So you can't say whatever your story is, whether it's a blog piece or a book, you can't say it's insignificant because someone needs to hear what you have to say, just like what Tanya just said. That's why I like the fact you said, get to know your vision. Once you know your vision, you can know where that path leads to your vision, to your purpose as well. So, Tanya, once again, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And we were talking today to Tanya Franklin. She is the author of the book Love Impaired, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I hope you enjoyed having her today. You're going to love her book, Love Impaired. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up that copy. It's really exciting to see our characters grow through the pain and the trauma of hurt. And if you've ever been in that situation, you're going to love this story as well. So go ahead, pick up your copy today. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.